One of the greatest things about the holidays is that they provide you with an opportunity to be selfish. Not selfish in the sense you're accustomed to. By selfish, I mean an opportunity to reflect on yourself. To make time to ask some serious questions and take stock of your life. And as you do that, I'm assuming, like me, you have reflected on the year 2019. And you're asking yourself, what have I accomplished in 2019? What was my biggest mistake? What was my misfortune? What could I have done differently? But what I've come to realize about these moments of self-reflection is that they can be dangerous. They can be dangerous because as you are thinking of your shortcomings and what you could have done in 2019, you also realize that 2020 is on its way. In fact, it's only a month away from us, for us. And it will not wait on you. It will not wait for you. Ready or not? It will come. 2020, is on its way. And this can give you some serious anxiety attack. Because you feel like you accomplished nothing in 2019, and here's 2020 coming and piling up more on what you already feel bad about. Because if there is one thing you are certain of, is that you don't want to end up where you are this year, this time next year. You don't want to end up where you are this year, this time next year. So you begin with the list, the never-ending list. You start writing what you need to change, what needs to happen in order to not end up where you are this year, this time next year. And making a list of what needs to change is important. It helps you keep track of the needs that you have, of the things that you need to get done. However, the problem with most lists is that the one thing that would change everything seldom make the list. The one thing that would change everything seldom make the list. And Apostle Paul talks about that thing in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. He says, but this one thing. But this one thing that if it made the list, it would change everything. But it seldom makes the list. This one thing. And this one thing is you. This one thing is you. Let me make this as clear as I can. Nothing will change unless you change. Nothing will change unless you change. You can change the venue. You can change your surrounding. You can get more money. Your credit could improve. But nothing will change unless you change. When I work at the Department of Public Health, one of the most notable doctors there was always asking me money to go to lunch. Like, don't you make three times what I make? Why are you asking me to let you borrow money to go to lunch? It's that you could make all the money in the world, but if you don't change, you will always be poor. Nothing will change unless you change. So how do I change myself? That's the question. How do I change myself? Well, like Apostle Paul, I must confess. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. What Apostle Paul is saying, and what I'm trying to convey through what he is saying, is I am not an expert at life. That's not what I'm trying to tell you. That I'm here and everybody's down there. We're all in this together. He says, I'm not an expert at this. I don't consider myself as one who has taken hold of life. In fact, if you think you taking a hold of life, it's obvious you have not taken serious or paid attention to the life of Job, Joseph, and Daniel. I've preached here before about Job. Job had everything in life. And even God was bragging about Job. And then just when he thinks he got life figured out, things turn upside down. Joseph, God told Joseph, well, your brother's going to worship you in a dream. And Joseph is jumping around because he has a bright future. Because if God says it, I believe it, and that settles it, it's going to happen. And right after that, he got sold into slavery. Daniel worked in the kingdom in Israel. But then all of a sudden, he finds himself in exile. I'm not saying you're going to have life figured out or I have life figured out. In fact, one of the best theologians that ever walked this earth beside Jesus is Apostle Paul. And he's saying, I'm being honest with you, I do not consider myself yet to have taken all of it. But this one thing, if we change, can help. But the author of life, the creator of the universe, give us a workable lead in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 to 14. Because he says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of this. Yes, I'm not an expert. But this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. If you are going to be successful in life, if you are going to find yourself somewhere different than where you find yourself this year, you have to learn to forget. Learn to forget what is behind you. If you are going to drive successfully in life's journey, you must stop looking in life through the rearview mirror. Some people live their life there, in the rearview mirror. If only my father didn't abandon me. If only I went to a better school. If only I came to God earlier. If only I never met him. And then there live just as you cannot drive going forward. Looking in the rearview mirror, you cannot drive successfully in life. Keep looking in the rearview mirror, if only, if only, if only, poor me, poor me, poor me, and poor me. One thing, forgetting what is behind. Not minimizing your past by saying this. And Apostle Paul is not doing this. God is not doing this. What happened to you in life was terrible if something happened to you in life. But you can't let what happened in your past define who you are or define who God wants you to be. If you're going to dwell in that all your life, all it's going to do is cripple you. So you must forget what is behind. In fact, can we act like a black church this morning? Repeat after me. I will not let what happened, come on, in my past to define me. Let's try it again. I will not let what happened in my past to define me. Yeah, that's a black church. Yeah. It's called call and response. Let's be honest. The things that happen to you are hard. Extremely hard, painfully hard to forget. If it were easy, if it could roll off your, off of you like water roll off ducks, then anyone could do it. Anyone could forget. It takes a truckload of grace, a truckload of strength from the Holy Spirit to learn to forget. So if I were you starting now, if you're thinking about having a successful life going forward, as I'm preaching, you should be praying in your heart, asking the Holy Spirit, please provide me the grace to forget. You often hear people say, I'll forgive, but I will never forget. How does that happen? You can forgive, but this one thing you can't do, forget? Ouch. Too often, isn't that just like you and me? Say, we can't forget. I can't forget what he's done to me. I can't forget the way she behaved. I can't forget. And because you can't forget, because you never let go of the past, because you never stop looking to the rearview mirror, your relationship can't ever move forward. Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, Love does not keep a record of wrong. And then the reason why you wake up every morning and your relationship can't ever be on a positive side, because you still remember what she did on your honeymoon night. You're still remembering that he didn't bring you roses for Valentine's 15 years ago. And sometimes, we go over it and over it and over it and over it, and it never leaves us. In fact, it becomes part of us. And by the way, while the other person is having fun, you're hurting. Forgetting is very challenging to do, especially with some of the things you have experienced in life. Yes, some things are easy to forget, but there are other things that make us wonder if God himself can forgive and forget in certain circumstances. But you know, that's what make it so special when it's done. This is what makes it life-changing when it is experienced, because it's not easy to do. But when you can forget, Clara Barton one day was doing something for a person who did her wrong. The person was not even there. She was helping a person who did her wrong. You know Clara Barton, the one who started the American Red Cross. And a friend that was next to her reminded her and says, did you remember the vicious things that this person did to you? Clara Barton acted as if she forgot. And the friend said, don't you remember? How she salvaged, how she stained your name, how she stained your name and your character. Friends trying to make her remember. And Clara Barton responded and says, no. I distinctly remember forgetting it. I distinctly remember forgetting it. If you're going to be successful in life, this one thing. If you want not to find yourself in the same place you are this year, next year, this one thing. Forget what is behind. Stop driving looking through the rear mirror. Stop living in your past. God did it. The one who's all known says, as far as the east is from the west, that's how I forget your sin. And the psalmist picked it up and said, blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven, whose sin God will never count against him. God chose to forget. Clive Barton chose to forget. How about you? How about me? And when we're talking about forgetting and forgiving, we're not just talking about people. Actually, the person that is the hardest for you to forgive most of the time is you. How did I get myself into this? How did I allow this to happen? You never forget yourself. And you're never able to have success in life. Never forget yourself. I've been watching a series on TV. Alex Rodriguez, who used to play baseball, he's helping retired athletes and entertainers who have failed in life. He was helping Holyfield, helping, I forgot his name, the guy who swim, and he lied in Brazil that he was dead. Abducted him at gunpoint and he lost everything. And these guys who build themselves to be the best in the world now live in the shadow because they can't forgive themselves. And as you watch the series, little by little, he's helping them remembering who they are. And one of the things he made that kid do, the one who swim, he says, one of the best things you could do, let's start calling a few people and tell them I'm sorry for what I have done. So that you could forget and move on. Just one thing. Forget what is behind. You know, that's what Joseph had to do when he met with his brothers. His brothers thought, oh, surely he's going to have revenge. Especially when their dad died. Oh, dad is dead now. The only reason Joseph didn't do anything to us is because dad was still alive. Now he's dead. We have to go tell Joseph. Dad said you can't touch this. Dad says you can't do anything to us. Joseph says, come close to me. When they had done so, he says, I'm your brother Joseph. Yeah, the one you sold in Egypt. Yeah. Do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourself for selling me here. He's asking them to forget what they've done. Because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. Forgetting. Joseph chose to distinctly forget what his brothers did to him. You know, this is one thing that I've noticed as I was preparing this sermon. I know some men who were successful doctors and engineers in Haiti. And they migrated to the United States. And the ones who become success, the ones who never made it in the United States, never forget the past. Well, I was an engineer. My father was president. My uncle was the minister of this, minister of that. I can't work in a factory. See, they're stuck in the past. But the ones who are going to be successful, the moment they arrive, they say, what? Dishwashing? Yeah. The doctor's using his hand now to wash dishes instead of healing patients. And they become successful because they don't live in the past. In order for you to make it next year, you're going to have to forget what is behind. In order for you to be successful in life, you have to forget what is behind. If you're going to be successful in 2020, you must distinctly remember forgetting. And mind you, the word is forgetting. It's a present continuing tense. It's not something that happened, but you have to work on it. Every day. Because the devil himself will bring it up all the time. See, I didn't just say the devil, because we like to blame the devil. The devil and self will bring it up constantly. Remember, 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 remember. Don't be afraid this year to give up things that are not important anymore. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to mark out something on your list out of your life that does not make sense anymore. Don't be afraid to confess that I made a bad choice in the past and I'm not going to do that again. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of this yet. Not telling you I've made it, I got it, I understand it, and you don't. But this one thing I do, this minuscule thing, this tiny thing I do, I forget. I learn to distinctly forgetting. And the only way you'll be able to forget what is behind is what? Press on. He says, forgetting what is behind and what? Straining toward what is ahead. See, that's what's so wonderful about repentance. Repentance is the Greek word metanoeo, which means to turn from and to turn to. It doesn't mean turn from your sin and then you'll stop sinning. If you don't turn to God, you're going right back to your sin. That's what the word repentance means. To turn from and turn to. All right, I don't want to do this anymore. Yeah, I'm putting it aside. And then you turn. If Jesus don't get a hold of you, pretty soon you'll find yourself the same place you were last week. You see, in order for you, after you forget what is behind, you can't just turn. You have to turn towards something. And you'll find everyone who's successful at life, that's exactly what they do. They turn from and they turn to. Meaning they have a purpose. By pressing on, we're not talking about suppressing your pain. That's not what we're saying. If it still hurt, you could still cry. Not talking, when I'm talking about pressing on, Apostle Paul's talking pressing on, it's not talking about moving from your problem. Because if you move away or run away from your problem, guess what? You're just running toward new problems. So suppressing your hurts does not heal you. Running away from your problem will not heal you. Apostle Paul makes it clear in 1 Corinthians 9 verse 26. He says, therefore, I do not turn away and forget what is behind me and run like someone who's running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, now that I've turned away to forget what was in the past, I'm living life with purpose. I have somewhere I'm going. One of the greatest handicaps somebody can have in life is not to have a purpose. It's to wake up every day and don't know what you're going to do. Have a purpose. Sit down and talk to your family. How those 5 years, the next 5 years going to look like? The only people who are able to forget what's behind are people who look at life as a privilege and not a plague. Some people wake up every day like life is a plague. No, it's a privilege. It's a gift. It's a miracle. Every day you wake up. So look at it as a privilege. not as a plague. Every day you wake up is a gift from God, is a miracle from God. So my advice to you this morning is to forget what happened in 2020 and 18. I'm talking about 20. Some people was in 2009 and 99 and 89 and 79. For God's sake, turn away. Your failures and your shortcomings, and look to this year as a privilege, an opportunity. You see, a new year gives you the opportunity to bury the past and move on. Because there's no such thing as a new year. Do you understand that? We mark it that way. In fact, God made the sun so they could mark the time. Really, so that you could feel afresh. Anew. And one of the things that God does in our life, if you look at it, is to make life worth living. You were a child, you had no worry. Then you became a teenager, you started having feelings. And you were independent. And then now you go on, you become in your 20s, and now you start living life. And you're like, whew, I wish I could go back to my, when I had no bills and, because I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait to get out. I'm like, shoot, my mom's too strict. I can't wait till I get older. Now I'm like, I could have waited. Could have waited. I could have waited. And if she allowed, I would wait until 50. No, I'm just joking. Because God, what it does, and you get married, that's a new season, a new life. And then your children start going to school, and then they start graduating. I don't say it much to people, but it's like, oh, this year Isaiah's graduating high school. I'm like, uh-oh. It's like, that's a new life. And then they get married, you become grandparents. That's a new life, new season, and it kind of refreshed you. Because it's a new thing that you're dealing with. And that's what God does. And you have to do the same thing. When the new year is for you to get a chance at starting over. Everything God looked at, He looked at it and said, it was good. Even the moon and the sun to mark the times. Because you know it refreshes us. It helps us bury the past. And start over again. Get it, get over it. Not only helps us to bury the past, but it helps us reestablish worthwhile goals toward our life's purpose. Worthwhile goals. You have to set some goals. I find it when I wake up and I get in my computer, I make my goal for the day. I find myself to be very successful. But when I wake up, I don't write them down. The day's just wasted. In fact, something I've said often here, when you don't make a schedule for the day, you become part of everyone else's schedule. Hey, can you help me move this? Oh, I'm not doing anything. The reason you're not doing anything is because you didn't plan anything. But when you plan the day, you plan the week, and you plan the month, then you can say no. It's easy to say no. But when you don't have a plan, you take care of everybody else's business but yours. Not only has buried the past and help you move on, reestablish worthwhile goal, the new year is an opportunity to set your priorities straight. There are some things that seems urgent, but they're not important. Urgent, but not important. He says, I press toward the goal. I press toward the goal to win the prize. I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has calling me for. The most important thing that is giving to every, you know, the most important thing that is giving to every single human being in this life is not money. It's not education. It's time. Everyone has the same amount of time every year. 365 days. You cannot add to it nor take away from it. Every one of us wake up and have the same time. Time is the most important commodity a person can have in this life. And nobody's richer in time. Nobody's poorer in time. So the secret to life success, the secret to success in life is not money. It's not education. It's not fame. The secret to success in life is effective planning. Effective planning. Plan your time. Plan your time. You can decide to spend time, waste time, or invest in time. You have three choices. Everyone have the same amount of time. You can either to spend it, you can waste it, or you can invest it. But if you don't invest it in well planning, you will find yourself where you are this year, next year. Time is not your friend. Some people say, I have time. But time is not your friend. Don't waste time. That's one thing you can ever have more or less of. You could make more money 10 years from now. Less money 10 years from now. But you still have the same time. See, let make this year the year of application. Not the year of talks. Application. Apply some of the things you've been thinking about. Put them into application. One of the greatest things that happened to me last year is for 45 years, I've been talking about I don't know how to swim. Whenever I go somewhere, everybody's having fun, I'm just standing right by the water, looking at everybody. And I decided, what are you doing? I went on YouTube and watched a few videos and put in an application. Not saying I'm a great swimmer, but I tell you, if you drop me in water, I can't survive. I can't survive. You could stand the past talking about, I never, because that's always my excuse. Well, you know, somebody say, well, you came from Haiti. I come, well, I live in Port-au-Prince, right smack in the middle. No water. When I came to the United States, my middle school didn't have water. And when I got to high school, they closed the pool. They were repairing it for 4 years. I could make all that excuse, but the day that I decided to put in the application, I did in 2 days. It took 45 years to do it in 2 days. Because I forget what was behind. Okay, forget about the excuses. But let me have a goal now. I want to learn how to swim and I want to teach my children how to swim. I hear someone once said, if you face life casually, you will become its casualty. If you face life, young people, listen. If you face life casually, you will become its casualty. So if you face this coming new year casually, you will become this new year's casualty. what Joseph, Daniel, all had in common, that the moment they arrive in exile or slavery, they forget what was behind them. I'm not at my father's house anymore. I'm not working in the palace anymore. I need to change my attitude. I need to forget what's behind me. I'm in Egypt now. I'm in Babylon now. And then they turn toward accomplishing some goals. Because listen to what Joseph said to his brothers. The reason why he was able to forget is because he had something to look forward to. For 2 years now, there has been a famine in the land. And for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. He had a purpose. He knew what God wanted of him. And if he's bickering and dealing with his brothers and not forgetting what happened in the past, for 1 second, he could lose God's grace. So he decided to turn away and look at what God had for him to do in the future. And I'm telling you, turn away from this thing that held you back. Forget them. It's a new day. It's a new life. Live life. Forget what is behind. Press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of this.